Today's scripture reading is from Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. And these things I heard, a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God.
Let me say good morning to everybody. Happy Sabbath. You know, it's a pleasure for me to be in the house of the Lord today to talk in his name, and we will be talking about an interesting topic. Hopefully our friends which are online and you brothers and sisters in the church will learn or will be happy, because it's not just gonna be a message, it's gonna be something that everybody knew already. Hopefully it will bring, one more time, joy to our heart today. So the title of our message today is The Holy City and Her Counterfeit. Saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it is not too much praying twice or multiple times. Much prayer, much power, less prayer, less power. And we need your power. And we need much power today and much inspiration. Please be in our midst and allow us to get the sense of the message today. This I pray in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Two different holy cities. The Bible is talking about two different holy cities, two different holy and great cities, the heavenly and the earthly. Can I have the clicker, please? The former is eternal, talking about the holy city, the most holy city. The heavenly city is eternal, and the latter, the one that is temporal. That means it does not last long. Clicker, can you ask clicker for me, please? Clicker. The eternal great city of God is counterfeited by the one who endeavors to usurp the worship due to the eternal one only. The eternal city is called what? Jerusalem. And the temporal one is called Babylon, the clicker. All right. So, my brothers and sisters, the eternal great city of God is counterfeited by the one who endeavors to usurp the worship due to God only. The eternal city is called Jerusalem. Now, my brothers and sisters, Babylon, the great city. When you go to Daniel chapter 4, verse 2 and 30, you will see something. A great city called Babylon being used by the devil to seduce God's children and to force people to observe something that the Bible is completely prohibiting. It says the king... You said the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? So that's someone that is boasting himself over what he has done. And Babylon at that time, I'm telling you, it's in Iraq. It was the mightiest city, beautiful city that existed in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. All right. The great city is falling, unfortunately. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is falling, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. This is the angel preaching, and this is the Babylon falling. And I'm telling you, as Babylon in time past fell, so will it be in our time also. Now, let's see the historical context of the fall. Revelation 14 verse 6 says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Verse 7 says, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven, earth, the sea, and spring of water. So the context of the fall of Babylon is in the first thing that we see, judgment, right there. Context of preaching the loud cry, the last message given to humankind on behalf of those who do not know the truth yet. So, in the context of preaching that message, we see that Babylon will fall. Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water. We will not talk about a particular thing that we find in verse 7, which is associated with the fourth commandment. You know that in Revelation, in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11, the Bible is clear about the fourth commandment, saying that God is the one creating heaven, earth, sea, and spring of water. By preaching this, we will preach also the fourth commandment. All right. Need to be preached loud. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is falling, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Revelation 18, verses 1 and 2. So, one other context of the fall of Babylon is that because Babylon is no longer a spiritual in terms of its or her relationship with God, Babylon will be completely spoiled with evil spirit. And Babylon, you and I know it's none than the Catholic Church. And I'm not talking about people who are honest, earnest in the church. And we know that many of them will be saved. Many of God's children are not yet in our fold. They are in the flock, I was about to say. But they are in Catholic Church. God's children are still in Catholic Church, in Protestant churches. But don't forget, these people will have to come over to form one people. Because there is one shepherd, there will be one people recognized by God on the planet Earth. Babylon in past time, Babylon in our time, the whole complex will be completely destroyed. This is Tower of Babel, never to exist again. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. So we've been fighting against Babylon or with Babylon for a long time, since my birth all the way to now. And probably there are people in the church who are Seventh-day Adventists before me, though I was born there. We've been fighting. We've been trying to reform. Reformation is still going on, but still Babylon is not completely falling. And we will see it very soon. Now, condition of the rich. When Babylon falls, what will happen? The merchants of these things, Revelation chapter 18, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Those are the merchants of the world. And we have many, many, many more. And saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Those colors, those precious stones, we will get back to them when we get to the new Jerusalem. You will see how the counterfeit is done. The same old color, almost. Unfortunately, I didn't have time to come up with a specimen or a picture of every stone the Bible is talking about, which will be part of the new Jerusalem. But we see decked with gold, precious stones, and pearls. This is how Babylon is decked. Now, this is one of them. For in an hour, 1 hour. Some people say 1 hour is not literal. They said it's a moment, a period of time. If it were a period of time, they would say an hour, not 1 hour. An hour is different from 1 hour. 1 hour is literal. An hour may be a period of time, maybe a moment. But this is 1 hour, which is how much? How many days? How many? 15. 2 weeks. For in 1 hour, so great riches is come to naught, and every ship master, and all the company in ships, and sailors, and as many as trade by sea, stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? Yeah, as I'm talking to you, because of so many church members that Catholic Church contends, the Pope becomes the head of the world. Whenever they talk about his power, they talk about the membership. They have 1.2 billion church members. And we Seventh-day Adventists, we just have about 21 million church members. If you were to multiply or to divide 1.2 billion by 21 million, probably you would have more than 30 times as much. Everywhere you go in the world, they will talk about Catholic Church. They know it. But not us, Seventh-day Adventists. But still, we will be the one preaching the gospel for all the world to hear it and to accept or reject. And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, For in 1 hour, one more time, it's not an hour. 1 hour is she made desolate. But let me tell you something. Actually, people, the Pope and those who are in his surroundings are talking about giving to every human being, whether you're working or not, a paycheck, a salary every month. They're trying to do it because they want to create a new earth. Give every one of you, whether you old or you young, male or female, working people or retired people, you will have a check in your mail or your bank account. Now they're not talking about check anymore because it will be over. It will be just what? It will not be money anymore. It will be what? Cashless society. Cashless society. And because of that, people, the rich will become richer. The rich will become richer because when you give me $200 a month, and what will I do with? I will spend it. Who will get that money? The rich people. They will become richer and richer. And you say, okay, I'm not going to spend it. I'm going to put it in a bank account. In which bank will you put it in? Will it be in your family's bank? No, their bank. And if they decide to close their bank, all the money will be in their pocket. The Bible says, alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich, all that had ships. They're talking about taking fuel or oil from being used in aircraft and automobiles or whatever ships. But you see, the Bible says something. Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour, that's a third time, is she made desolate. She will be poor in 1 hour, which is 2 weeks or 15 days. Okay, now, when that happens, you will probably think that every human being will be sad, or I don't know, but the Bible doesn't say that every human being will be sad. The Bible said, rejoice over her, thou heaven and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. So it will not be just us rejoicing over what will happen to the rich of the earth and to the Babylon, but the prophet who've been slain because of preaching the gospel. We will be in heaven, black and white. All we will be in heaven. The kingdom of Jesus and his children. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Amen? Every single kingdom on this earth has been and will be destroyed. But the one established by God will never be destroyed. This is the kind of kingdom that I want to be part of. Because I want to live eternally. Why should we fight for temporal things? For money and power. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now America is freaking out because of the rise of China. A lot of people believe that China will take over. Seventh-day Adventists cannot believe in this. Never. No country on earth can take over America. No country, according to the Bible. So do not Do not allow that to distract you. It cannot. America is the only superpower which will bring every human being on their knees except us Seventh-day Adventists, the true Seventh-day Adventists. So, brothers and sisters, for as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. What dream? You know that Nebuchadnezzar got a dream, and in the dream he saw a statue having how many parts? Four main parts. The head, this part which we call the chest, and we have this. And then what about the feet? In iron, four different kingdoms that would be on earth. The first is the Babylonian kingdom. The second is Medo-Persian kingdom. The third is Greek kingdom or Grecian kingdom. And the last one is Roman kingdom. All right. The Bible says all of these kingdoms. Don't forget that the Roman kingdom still exists today in different form under Catholic leadership. After the fall of the Roman kingdom, it was Catholic Church who took over. And since then, it has never given a break to humankind, except when the political power has been taken away from the Pope and given back to it is given back to him as I'm talking to you. All right. Now, this is not Jesus, but think about it. The gate of heaven will be opened to those who are saved. I will be there. Jesus is, you see this? He's calling me. Actually, he's talking to me particularly. He's looking at me. Is Jesus looking at you? Do you see Jesus looking at you? You cannot see it. Unfortunately, I want to put it larger, but I don't know what I did to make it like that. I'm sorry. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in me, believe also. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Who is talking here? Jesus. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, a place for every one of you, a place of every one of us, for every one of us, a place in heaven? Man, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So we will be in heaven with Jesus Christ, because he said it. And he extends his hand to receive everyone into his kingdom. These are the gates of the kingdom. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven, saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgment, for he has judged the great war. The great war is what? Babylon the great city, will be judged. And we just saw some about it already, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication. Who is corrupting the earth? Catholic Church. With the doctrine of Catholic Church, the earth is being contaminated. And people do not want to say it because they're afraid. And I'm telling you, we have to say it. If we don't, who will then? And hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. You know that from 538 all the way to 1798, in a period of 1260 years, Catholic Church has killed at least 50 million people. We need to say it. And we need to repeat it. This is the message for our time. We cannot hide it. It is a commission given us, entrusted to us. All right. Now, that's a good thing. I like these pictures. Those are the four beasts and the 24 elders. And again, they said, hallelujah, and a smoke rose up forever and ever. This is after the millennium. And the four and 20 elders and the four beasts all fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. These things we need to repeat them from time to time when we preach. Amen, hallelujah. Because this is what we're going to say in heaven, along with the angels. Amen, hallelujah. I'm not asking anybody to manifest. Keep it for outside. Not for us. This is not for us. The elders. Four beasts. The elders. Raise their hand to say hallelujah. Look at that. God in his throne. Man, who will be there? I will. Telling you. By God's grace. And that multitude of people. Who will not be there? This is me. That black man. He is not totally black, but it's me. I will be there. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as if it were the voice of a great multitude. This is a great multitude. And as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many mighty thunderings, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. Revelation 19, verses 5 and 6. Hallelujah. Who don't want to go there? New Jerusalem and new earth. It will be right there. I will tell you in a minute where this will be. I will tell you. Do not sleep. Stay awake. I will tell you where this will be. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. Aha. That means the earth, don't forget that. The sea is twice as much as the land. That means the earth, there will be no more sea. Multiply the earth, the land, by two, and you will understand, no, actually three. By three, and you will understand how big will be the earth where God will establish his kingdom, where many of you or all of you, all of us. Can I say that? All of us will be there. Can I say that? Ha! New Jerusalem. Oh, Lord, my God. Look at that. Look at that. I don't know where I'm going to be. Probably. I leave this for Jesus Christ. But probably I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. And I saw, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with men and with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God will dwell with us. As I'm talking to you, according to Revelation chapter 1, Jesus walks among his people, but we cannot see him. The Holy Spirit is here. We cannot see him. But then, when we get to heaven, and when we get to the new earth, we will see them. We will touch them. We will talk to them. Man. So, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Sister Joan was talking about diseases spreading all over, pestilences. And I'm telling you, you've got a virus called coronavirus. And there is a trend. There is a variant now called what? Delta. There's another one coming from Brazil called Lambda. Those trends will strike one more time, and many people will die. The Bible says all things or no. This will not happen again. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Eh? Without the city. Who will be without the city? Outside of the city. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers, whoremongers. What is that? Whoremongers are those people who sell their flesh. Sensual people. Whoremongers, sorcerers, adulterers, liars shall have their part in the lake which burn with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Adulterers. Liars, sorcerers, all of these things will be out of the city. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Okay. Come down. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. Which mountain is John referring to? Which mountain did John see? Which mountain did the angel show to John? And showed me that great city, not Babylon the Great. This is the holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like jasper stone, clear as crystal. I forgot to put it there. I was trying to do it this morning, but the time was after me. I was not able to show you. Which city? Where will the new Jerusalem be put down, coming down from God, from heaven? And the city has no need of the sun. No sun. Because if you go to California, probably it will be about 130 degrees Fahrenheit. If you go to Canada, part of Canada, it will be about 47 to 50 degrees Celsius. If you go to Iraq, it will be about 50 degrees Celsius, which is more than 130 degrees Fahrenheit. That's in. You're dead, I'm telling you. You're dead with something like that. God says, okay, God, my children, there will be no more moon. For the glory of God, no sun, no moon. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the lamb is the light thereof. Lamb? Jesus. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the king of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Who will be the kings of the earth? Us! Oh, lo. You cannot understand it. And at the close of the 1,000 years, Christ again returns to the earth. This is great controversy. He is accompanied by the host of the redeemed and attended by a retinue of angels. As he descends in terrific majesty, he bids the wicked dead rise to receive their doom. They come forth a mighty host, numberless as the sands of the sea. What a contrast to those who are raised at the first resurrection. The righteous were clothed with immortal youth and beauty. The wicked bear the traces of disease and death. Great difference. Those who will get resurrected at the second resurrection at the first resurrection, will get resurrected in a youthful body, glorious body, eternal body, without blemish, without germ of diseases. On the contrary, those who will get resurrected at the second resurrection, the wicked will get resurrected with virus, coronavirus. They will get resurrected with coronavirus still in their body. They will get resurrected with cancer, with HID, with HIV, how do you call it? HIV. AIDS. Get resurrected with all kind of diseases that we know of now. Those who are not saved at the second resurrection. This is the answer to our questions earlier. Christ descends upon the Mount of Olives, whence, after his resurrection, he ascended, and where angels repeated the promise of his return. Says the prophet, "The Lord, my God, shall come, and all the saints with thee, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, and there shall be a very great valley." So, where is Jerusalem located? In Israel. Where is Israel located? They call it Middle East, but before it was Africa. They change it. They call it Middle East, but Africa. The same place that God has used to create humankind, the same place where God placed the Garden of Eden, will be the same place Jesus will come down to establish his kingdom. Did you know that? Did you know it? The same place. Africa. "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one, as the new Jerusalem and its dazzling splendor comes down out of heaven. It rests upon the place purified and made ready to receive it. And Christ with his people and the angels enters the holy city." Wow. I don't know if when we go to heaven, we will go directly to the holy city. I believe, I'm not saying it is biblical, but I believe we will get into it after the millennium. We will probably see it when we get to heaven. But it will be established and planted on the earth where rebellion people have been for 6,000 years. Have you dreamed about it? Have you thought about the new Jerusalem? Have you thought about being there? I see many old people in the gathering here. But let me tell you, when you get saved, you will become young. Amen? Young. And I think if I were to ask you, listen, brothers and sisters, I want to make you young again. And I want to do it now. Which age group do you want to be in? 25 to 30, 20 to 25, 18 to 27. Okay, you will be like that when you get to heaven. Amen. I am a little bit less young than I used to be when I was 25. But I will come back to my youth age to live forever. We will be grandma, grandpa, but young grandma and grandpa. And let me say something. Give me 1 second to say that. Those of you who are 70, 75, 80 years of age, you will become in your youth age. But there are people who died early and their children are older than they. Do you catch it? Let's say that I died when I was 25 and I've got a child. And my child survived me 30 years after. 30 years. My child will be older than I. So in heaven, we need to be there to understand that. We really need to be there to understand that. Your child will be older than you. Let's go to finish. Now Satan prepares for a last mighty struggle for the supremacy. While deprived of his power and cut off from his work of deception, the prince of evil was miserable and dejected. But as the wicked dead are raised and he sees the vast multitude upon his side, talking about the devil, Satan, his hopes revive. And he determines not to yield the great controversy. Satan will marshal all the armies of the lost under his banner and through them endeavor to execute his plans. The wicked are Satan's captive. All people, for the first time ever, the earth will see its children from Adam all the way to the last person ever born on the earth. All will be there. Those who are saved will be in the new Jerusalem. Those who are lost will be gathered around the devil. What is the reason of this gathering? In that vast throng, a multitude of the long-lived race that existed before the flood, men of lofty stature and giant intellect, who, yielding to the control of fallen angels, devoted all their skill and knowledge to the exaltation of themselves, men whose wonderful works of art led the world to idolize their genius, but whose cruelty and evil inventions, defiling the earth and defacing the image of God, caused him to blot them out from the face of his creation. The great flood. You remember that? There are kings and generals among those who are lost. Kings and generals who conquered nations like Hitler, like Napoleon. How do you say it? Napoleon? Who? Hitler? Who? Who? Herod? Who? Who else? Eh? Okay, I cannot hear that. Okay, there are kings and generals who conquered nations, valiant men who never lost a battle, proud and ambitious warriors whose approach made kingdoms tremble like Alexander the Great. Nebuchadnezzar will be saved. In death, these experience no change. As they come up from the grave, they resume the current of their thoughts just where it ceased. They are actuated by the same desire to conquer that ruled them when they fell. They lay their plans to take possession of the riches and glory of the New Jerusalem. Will we give them the New Jerusalem? Will we allow them to get it and to take it over and to put us in the same situation we are in now? Will Jesus allow that to happen? All immediately begin to prepare for battle. There will be a last battle. This one will not be Armageddon. This will be the last battle, desperate battle. Skillful artisans construct implements of war. Military leaders, famed for their success, marshal the throngs of warlike men into companies and divisions. Who will be the head of these people? The devil. Satan. At last, the order to advance is given, and the countless lost host moves on. An army such as was never summoned by earthly conquerors, such as the combined force of all ages since war began on earth, could never equal. Satan, the mightiest of warriors, leads the van, and his angels unite their forces for this final struggle. Kings and warriors are in his train, and the multitudes follow in vast companies, each under its appointed leader. With military precision, the serried ranks advance over the earth, broken and uneven surface to the city of God. Two cities are in fight. The city of Babylon is trying to take over the city of God, where we will be. And the armies of Satan surround the city and make ready for the onset. Bill. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Amen. Will we be happy? I will be. Let me take the last one. People, I don't want you to sleep. I don't want you to sleep. Sister White says, nearest the throne are those who were once zealous in the cause of Satan. That's Paul. But who plucked as brands from the burning have followed their Savior with deep, intense devotion. Next are those who perfected Christian characters in the midst of falsehood and infidelity, those who honored the law of God when the Christian world declared it void, and the millions of all ages who were martyred for their faith. We will be in this second category of people being saved. The first people who will be around Jesus Christ are those who were his enemies serving the devil and who accepted Jesus Christ. The second will be us, those who will endure persecution in this time of trouble that is right ahead of us. And finally, there will be the great multitude. Let me not read it. The great multitude will be in third position. In the fourth position. Let me not read it because we need to go. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. Jesus is about to establish his kingdom, breaking down the other kingdom. The great city, which is Babylon, will be destroyed. And our city will not be destroyed. Our city will last forever. Please, in the name of Jesus, let us fight for Jesus. Let us endure persecution for Jesus. Let us live for him. Let us do good to others. Let us see Jesus face to face and live with him, because the time is at hand. Persecution will break out on us. We need to be conscious of that. And we need to serve the Lord with all our heart, all our thought, all our strength. And I'm telling you, when he comes, all of us, if we stay firm, all of us will be saved. And we will live with him forever. God bless you. Dear God, we thank you for bringing us here to bless us. So did you. We've been blessed because your word is certain. So certain that you repeated to John. Jesus, your son, will come soon. And every one of us should be saved. There is provision for that. Do not allow any one of us to go astray and to lose these blessings, eternal life. As we're going to depart from here, please send us with your grace and protection. In the name of Jesus, I do pray. Amen.
Amen.